Okay, what does that mean, really?
Sona Vista?
Yeah, I keep...
It's a greeting.
But I've never heard that greeting from anybody except you.
We made it up. Sona Vista, my friend. Sona Vista, and welcome to the Saturday special with your host, MZ. And my name is Robin Goldstein. I'm your buddy and pal. I'm also a straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning. And I'm thrilled to be back on the airwaves here at KSCO.
Okay, now for the benefit of those people, you know, people say that the call letters KSCO stand for Keep Senior Citizens Occupied. That being the case.
Okay.
For the benefit of the senior citizens who might not have been able to pick up.
You're saying that they myself do included. For the next 2 hours?
55 is senior citizen.
Is that true?
Isn't it? Now?
Are you part of AARP?
I joined it at 50 when they said I was first able to, and then I sort of let it lapse. Yeah. But when I turned 55 on the 9th of November last year, couple months ago, someone told me that I'm a senior citizen now. Well, I guess, can I get Social Security? No. But I can still, I have to call
my... You get a discount when you go to the movies.
Look, here's the deal for sure. I am out. I have become irrelevant. We've talked about this before, and you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
25-54 is the advertiser demographic that people are looking for, that advertisers are looking for. And when I was 54 last year, but on November 9th, I turned 55. And I became irrelevant overnight, or actually at 7 in the morning when I officially... My mother tells me I was born at 7 in the morning, you know.
So you having a great time at 6:59? I mean, were you celebrating those last moments of relevancy?
No, I was all... I had been depressed for the last few months,
Sorry.
Leading up to it.
Want to talk about
because,
it?
Well, yeah.
Right.
Who wants to be irrelevant in this world? Do you?
Well, don't you think it's a state of mind? I mean, isn't 55 the new 45? Isn't vanilla the new black? That's what I'm thinking about.
This is why, this is the main selfish reason I invited you to be on the Saturday special, because you can be my psychiatrist. You can make me feel better, and you can make me look into myself.
By looking at me, you feel better.
Yeah. Well, talking to you.
Well, you certainly feel more normal.
You have an...
If I'm the standard, if I'm as low as you can go, you go, well, I got to feel better than that.
So the reason I was asking about, for the benefit of us senior citizens,
mm-hmm.
you have that great spiel about white, straight, white, vegetarian, blah, 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 blah. Say it slower. Say it like one, maybe, not that slow, but maybe 25% of the speed that you said it, just so that we can go through each one individually.
So I'm a straight, white, Buddhist, vegetarian, lesbian, fraternity boy. That's sort of one.
Okay.
Trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning.
Now, the woman patent attorney, is that sort of a newly added? Because
nope,
when I first met you...
haven't changed any of it.
Because you were a guy when you and I were first on the Saturday special.
Okay.
You were a guy who had been a woman and wanted to become a guy again and did.
Okay.
This was like 1999,
something
thereabouts.
Like that, yeah.
Pardon me.
Yeah, very professional.
There. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I turned off the mic to clear my throat this time, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, Robin. So I didn't have time to look for some old tapes to figure out whether trapped in a body of a white male patent attorney. Okay, so you really always ever since you drummed up that description of yourself, it's none of the words have changed. Okay,
because I don't think any of the words have any real meaning.
Seriously.
Yeah, I mean,
you are not a patent attorney.
No, I am, but the point behind that phrase, for people who don't know, and that phrase came about, by the way, here on KSCO.
Yeah.
When I was given the opportunity back in 1998, 1999,
yeah,
to do a show on Saturday evenings, right, for like 6 weeks, I had a little tryout.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I had a little tryout. Humble Brian the Great had gone on a sabbatical at that point. And I got to... That's what we like to call it.
That is the euphemistic...
Exactly.
Characterization.
And so Humble Brian the Great had gone on a sabbatical, and I had gotten a sort of a six-week stint to sit in and do this little program. And so we created this show called Schnauzer Logic. And at that point, I needed to figure out something, and I realized that I was all of those things and none of those things, that you couldn't categorize me. I'd been here in the Silicon Valley at that point for four or 25 years, and you'd go to meet people, and they say, and you are, and you do. And so people were described by their business cards. That was the sum and substance of who people were, was what was on their business card. And I thought, well, I don't fit on a business card. I'm going to need two business cards taped together, and then you have to write on the back.
Right.
I'm a straight, white, Buddhist, vegetarian, lesbian, fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman, patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning. And I can keep going on and on and on and on. I'm all of those things, but none of those things define me.
Is there anything that would define you if you had, if someone said define yourself?
I think I'm funny.
Okay. Yeah, I saw you do a stand-up at the stand-up comedy
thing at
the Crow's Nest, and you were pretty funny.
That was
actually
one of my worst gigs ever.
Really?
Yeah.
And I thought that was funny.
Thanks.
But
that was very nice.
Probably because I knew you, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. I had an opportunity to do a showcase down in Los Angeles at the world famous Comedy Store, and that was probably the place that I killed. That it was like 10 minutes of being in the zone. And you know at that point what it feels like to be an athlete, when athletes talk about being in the zone, and that suddenly everything fades away from you. Fighter pilots talk about it. People in sports talk about it, where suddenly you are just completely focused on what you're doing and everything else fades away and time stands still. And I stood on that stage down in Los Angeles and I did 10 minutes and I was in the zone. There was nothing that I could say that wasn't funny. There was nothing that I could do that wasn't interesting or engaging. Uh-huh. And when I walked off the stage that day, I thought, now I know what this feels like. This is so scary. I never want to do this again.
Really?
Yeah, it was terrifying.
I thought you were going to say you knew your calling then.
No. I don't like to be that
confirmed in your brain.
I don't like to be that scared all the time. Yeah.
Wow. So did you decide that you weren't going to do comedy after
that? I did a little bit of comedy after that, but I realized that for me, radio was a better way of being. I enjoyed being on the air much more than I enjoyed having to make people laugh. So in the course of the conversation, if we have a chance to sort of hang out and talk this morning about the world around us for the next couple of hours, I will say some things that just pop into my head that are funny, and hopefully they'll make you laugh, may make the audience laugh, may make them think a little bit, but not too much, Saturday morning.
We don't want people to think too much.
Not too much, Saturday morning.
It could get dangerous.
Absolutely, it causes all kinds of secondary infections, but definitely get people just a little bit, just a little smile. If I can just get like a little bit of smile on the side of your face, that's fine for me. It's much easier to do that when you don't have 10 minutes to force somebody to laugh.
Okay. Now, when we met and had you on the Saturday special, it was, I think it was 99.
There, okay, could be.
Circa 99.
Could be.
Right? I was fascinated because Rosie said, well, this is a fascinating person named Robin Goldstein who showed up and who's transsexual. And I said, what does that mean? Well, why don't you have him on the Saturday special? You could find out. So we did. We did, and one of the first things I asked you then is, do you have a schlong? And you said yes.
Uh-huh. Did you ask me and did I answer?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. Wow, okay, cool.
Well, I asked you yesterday, I said, is anything off limits? And you said, absolutely not.
Oh, okay. No, okay? Of course not.
And I'd asked you then anyhow, so I'm going to ask you again. Now,
absolutely.
You still do have a schlong.
The only thing I won't talk about is that stint as an assassin for the CIA. I'm not allowed to talk about that.
Okay. Now, so
Chuck Barris and I.
But what is different?
Can kill a man 16 different
you
ways.
You were a guy.
Three
you looked
of them
like
a poodle.
You looked like a guy back then, and that's why I asked you. And I knew that you had been a woman prior to that, before I met you.
Yes.
And so I asked you I decided you wanted to keep your schlong, and so you didn't have it hacked off.
So here's the thing. I don't think, and I will answer the question as best as I can, but being trained as an attorney, what I realize is not every path will lead to the truth. So let us try to get to what I think is the truth. And that is, I don't think that the terms transsexual or transvestite or crossdresser, I don't think those are necessarily helpful in explaining one individual. It may be helpful in sort of understanding a group of people. Well, these people are generally, we can understand them as being transsexuals. But in terms of every individual, everyone is very, very different. There is no characteristic that groups all transsexuals, all transgender, all straights, all gays, all lesbians, all Jews together, right?
So it's not correct that a transvestite dresses in the opposite sex, but has his or her original equipment.
It may be true for most, but not necessarily all. My point is that those terms weren't helpful for me, and I can only talk
about...
But
you use them.
Yeah.
You say transsexual in your spiel.
As a kind of, well, first of all, as you know, as a performer, right? Because you are part of what you do as a performer when you do this show. You try to get people to be attached to what you're doing, right? You try to draw them into the conversation. And so you come up with buzzwords. And transsexual is a very interesting word. Now, here's something that I found out in all the years of performing. When I do that straight white Buddhist vegetarian thing, the thing that people always say to me at the very end is, you have a master's degree in city planning?
Yeah.
Like, that is the most surprising thing that I have just told them about myself in 45 seconds.
Right.
Not none of the rest of it. The fact that I happen to have a master's degree in city planning. Here's how I understand myself. Let me answer the question for you. I think this may be true for more people, but I can only talk about myself. Gender is not binary.
Okay.
It isn't male, female. It isn't black or white. It is some sort of fluidity or mobility, if you will. I like to think of it as quantum. You understand quantum physics? Probably.
No.
Well, too bad Mr. Logic isn't here. He'd be able to explain this to you much better than I am.
Really?
Well, maybe not. but here's how I understand it. I think that people that we consider to be men,
yeah,
like yourself, they have a collection of characteristics, social characteristics, mental characteristics, physical characteristics that tend to kind of clump together as being male or masculine characteristics, right? You have a penis and you have certain kinds of hormones and your brain is wired in a certain way. You tend to think in certain ways. You've evolved in certain ways. You're socialized in certain ways. All of these things go into making you what a man is. Things that people who we identify as being female, the opposite.
Some are more men than others, though.
Well, that's exactly my point. And some people, and I think I probably fall into this category, some people are not on that clear line. Some people have some characteristics which are male and some characteristics which are female. Now, in the natural world, hopefully they all kind of bunch together. So that it's really clear when you look in the mirror and you see yourself, you go, yeah, I'm a man and I see a man, or yeah, I'm a woman and I see a woman. But there are some of us when we look in the mirror and we see ourselves and we go, that's not right. Now, how do I know that that's not right? How do you know that you're not?
So you changed your appearance and then you, after a while, you decided, that's not right either.
So I changed my appearance. I changed the way that I lived. I changed the way that the world perceived me. And that felt righter. But it's kind of like the weather report, partly sunny, partly cloudy.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them mean that you've got some amount of sun and some amount of clouds.
Yeah.
Okay?
I hate it when the weathermen say the chances of rain are 50% today. It may rain, it may not. You know? But not too many of them do that. I mean, you'll note it's very, very rare. It's sort of like finding a four-leaf clover. If you can find a weather person who says 50% chance of rain today, It's unique. It's like finding a four-leaf clover because they always say, you know, it's either 40 or 30 or 80 or...
Right. They don't want to be wrong, so...
Well, they don't want to just... they don't want people to think, oh, I'm not... That person's not much of a weather person if he says chances are half 50-50.
Anyhow, for me, what I realized was that I wanted to understand my life and explore my life, and it was important for me to live as a woman, and that's what I did for 5 years.
Uh-huh.
And changed all the legal identification and went through all of that process. And during that time, I began to sort of spend some time in the transgender community and go to meetings and meet people. And I realized, you know what? Those don't really feel like necessarily people I would be friends with.
Yeah.
Right? If I met those people on the street, I don't know if I'd be friends with them. I'd be friends with you. Right? We have actually things in common that we're interested in terms of entertainment and broadcasting and the business of radio and whatever it is. But I don't have necessarily things with those other people. So I decided to just kind of live my life. After doing that for 5 years.
You are who you are at the moment.
Exactly.
Okay. With that, let's hear from our first caller. We haven't even given the phone numbers and people are calling.
479-1080.
Person is calling.
Area code 831.
That's exactly right. If you want to talk to Robin Goldstein, we're going to be talking about a lot of things. But
moment, this gets boring.
Right. At the moment, we're only talking about transvestitism and transsexualism and all that kind of stuff. So if you want to talk about that, you can call and talk about anything. But
anything
Mike,
you want.
Presumably Mike.
Except that time at the CIA.
Don't want to talk about that. Here's Mike about transvestites. Hey, Mike, you're on the air with Robin and MZ.
Hey, MZ.
Yes.
You've told us that you have a station policy regarding stupid people not being allowed to listen.
Yes, and we're going to be expanding that policy in 2007 to unhealthy people are not allowed to listen.
Okay.
And we're going to further expand it into people who are close-minded people are not permitted to listen to KSCO. We're slowly refining it into the perfect radio station with the perfect radio station.
Is there a height requirement? You must be at least this tall to
No. I don't see that that has anything to do with it. But we do not want close-minded people listening, nor do we want stupid people listening. That's for sure.
Cool.
Okay, Mike.
We out here in radio land now have a policy against stupid, close-minded people being on the radio. And we're asking you to get rid of this guy. He's unhealthy for the environment and the general
Robin?
Condition of mankind.
Why?
He is stupid and closed-minded. And as long as he has a schlong, why doesn't he tell us what he does with it? You can't put that on the air, can you? But you can go along with this ha-ha stupidity.
Well, okay, so...
I guess my question is, why are you interested... whether or not I have a schlong and what I do with it.
I'm not. But
okay.
You
well,
guys
that's why
are
we're not
talking about it.
We're not. Actually, we
You're
haven't.
The one who said that.
Yeah.
I wanted to know is if he had one.
Yeah.
Now,
why was that so relevant?
Because he's a trans...
Because he's a man. He's been one all his life, and he's too stupid and closed-minded to realize that. He's not a woman.
Now, wait a minute, Mike.
He is a stupid man, and he shouldn't even be listening to your station, let alone given microphone time.
Now, Mike, now calm down, Mike, okay? Here, I want to talk about
I don't
this.
Want to upset the audience. I can leave if they...
No.
I'd be happy
no.
to...
Let him leave.
No, I don't...
Leave.
I don't want...
He needs to go listen to some common sense somewhere.
Okay. Mike, it would seem to me that if anything, Robin is more open-minded than you are.
No, I know stupidity.
He is willing to experiment on both sides of
yeah.
the spectrum, and that's being
I'm
more open-minded.
I'm smart enough to not go experimenting on both sides.
Well, God bless you. That's great.
There's nothing wrong
yeah,
with that.
Yeah, that's terrific.
Okay.
Hand, you're criticizing me for being closed-minded. On the other hand, you
no,
think
I'm
it's great.
Just, no,
make up your mind, Mr. Z.
I'm just suggesting that you said that Robin is closed-minded.
Yeah, he's closed-minded.
Okay, and I'm saying, if anything, he's more open-minded than you and I put
yeah.
together.
Yeah, no, he's
I'm not attacking you. Yeah. I'm just making an observation.
Yeah, he's closed his mind to common sense and reality.
Okay.
Next time he's naked in front of the mirror, let him look again at what's between his legs, and maybe that could help him figure out who he is.
Let me ask you a quick question. The caller's name is
Mike.
Mike,
yeah.
Mike, I do appreciate the call, and obviously you have a different opinion, which is absolutely cool. If I had surgery and removed that thing between my legs, would we still be having this conversation, or would that be okay with you then?
I'd have to think about that.
Okay.
What in the world? Where in the world are you coming from? That's
the other side of the hill, Santa Jose.
It's more stupidity, man. He's not going to escape this overnight. He's going to take
about 20 years.
Okay.
20 years? I'm 49. I've been dealing with this my entire life.
Okay. 49.
Mike, okay. We love you. And you,
mm-hmm.
and you
keep
you,
listening.
Yeah, keep listening. Thank
yep.
you, Mike. Okay, here, there goes Mike in Santa Cruz. Here's Don on a cell phone in Prunedale. Has a question for Robin. Go ahead, Don.
Over.
Oh, God. Not one of those cut-in, cut-out cell phones.
God, I hope not.
Okay.
I can hear you well. Am I coming in?
Yeah, hurry before you hit another dead spot.
All right. I'm really interested, and I always have been, to know whether you feel that you're being a transvestite or is also probably for homosexuals and transsexuals. Do you think that it is really a lifestyle choice, or is it internal wiring? Is it something you're born with? Are you really, like, I can't help being a heterosexual.
Yeah, so this is definitely not a choice. If I had to choose, I mean, I would choose what Mike suggested, which is not to have to deal with any of this stuff. This is, what a waste of time. And money and psychological stuff and therapists and whatever. This is a nightmare. I don't suggest anybody explore this unnecessarily. I knew
that there should be part of the crowd.
And believe me, I tried that for over 35 years. I tried to be part of the crowd. And as a result of suppressing these thoughts and feelings that I had inside of me, and by the way, these things have nothing to do with anyone else. I don't feel like anybody has to be involved in this.
You're not engaged in recruiting in any way.
No. My recommendation is people stay as far away from this as they possibly can. I'm not an advocate of this. My feeling is that for whatever reason, there is some wiring inside of me that is not the way it ought to be. It's a little bit meshed together. And so some parts of me that should clearly be on the male side wind up being on the female side inside my head. And this feels like a better way to live. For me, transgender is better. I don't consider myself to be a transvestite. If you're looking for a term, transgender is right. Non-operative or preoperative, transsexual is sort of an old-fashioned way of saying it.
Hello. Are you there?
Do you feel that it's mostly that way for most of the people that have a... I don't want to call it a problem, because to them it's not a problem.
You know, one of the things I've learned along the way is whenever I speak for anybody else, I get it wrong. So I'm reluctant to say how other people see themselves. But the people that I know who are friends of mine, who I've met through the gender community, either as activism or in support groups or what have you, it feels to me like these are folks that knew that there was something about them that didn't kind of jibe when they were 3 or 4 or 5 years old. That's long before you have a sense of your own sexuality. That's long before you have a sense of really of your own personality. You haven't been socialized in school yet.
It wasn't a choice.
It wasn't a choice.
A time when they thought, well, I think I'll try this for a while.
Do I think that there are people that do that say, I'm going to experiment with this? Yeah, I'm sure there are. There are people that experiment with everything. But the people that I know who go to the extent of actually living and clearly putting themselves, you know, in society in a way that people like our first caller are not really supportive of, you have to be pretty committed. This is not a way to spend some time on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, Don, hope that helped, okay?
I'm sorry?
I say I hope that helped, okay?
Oh, of course.
Okay. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks for listening to your favorite radio station. Isn't that a presumptuous statement? I don't know that this is Don's favorite radio station.
How could it not be?
I guess it wasn't.
How could it not be?
I guess it wasn't a presumptuous statement.
They're either listening to this or they're listening to Schnauzer Logic over at www.schnauzerlogic.com.
Good. We'll talk. We need to talk about that. I want to talk about your podcast.
Sure.
It's become very, very popular. There's a lot of production value in it and so forth, which I wish there was in this program, but I have no one but myself to blame. A wise man once told me that when a fish stinks, it stinks from the head.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean, I just, this is sort of a rudderless ship.
Quit your carping around
Okay, now listen, Robin. Masters in city planning. How many commercials do we have? Not counting promos, Dave. Only three? God.
But they're good ones.
Oh, they are? Okay. All right. So we'll take one commercial break in a little bit here, but I want to ask Robin about what would have happened, because you have a background in city planning.
I do.
And we know you know the history of Santa Cruz County.
A little bit. Not.
All right. Well, then good. Then I'll take 2 or 3 minutes here to sort of do a little retrospective of what's happened in our county. In 1974, there was a proposal to build a convention center at near where the lighthouse is. Mm-hmm. It's called Lighthouse Field then and now. And there was a big uproar. There was a young attorney named Gary Patton who made a name for himself back then by organizing a community uprising against building
So he was not in favor.
Absolutely not in favor, and there were a lot of other people who were not in favor, and they needed a leader, and he turned out to be a great leader. He put together an initiative for the local ballot.
And the reason they were against it was they didn't want to change the nature of the community,
bringing
lots of traffic.
I guess.
Okay.
I guess same old reasons that everybody's against any kind
Communists.
Of development anywhere.
Sorry, did I say that out loud? I'm sorry. This is a test show, right? This is not actually on the air.
No, it's not on the air.
Good.
So anyhow, Gary Patton made a name for himself by writing a voters initiative that passed with flying colors. You know, it went through right away, which basically said that that land across from the lighthouse point there will never, ever be a convention center and, in fact, should be an undeveloped park.
All right.
Okay, which was subsequently a few years, several years later, acquired by the state, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Or maybe it was this. Forgive me, ladies and gentlemen.
But
there's someone out there, I know there's someone out there who knows the truth.
479-1080.
Yeah, help me out. 479-1080. So, long story short, Gary became a crusader against development. And that propelled him into political power, which started in – I think he ran for supervisor for the first time in 94, or maybe it was 96. Whatever it was, he won. He ran on a no anti-development. You know, this is a great place, Santa Cruz County. The best way to keep it great is to keep the people the hell out.
Right.
And liberals and conservatives tend to agree on that. You know, I mean – I've got mine. It's the whole NIMBY thing, not in my backyard.
Right.
You know, I've got mine. You can't have yours. But, of course, you know, for my friends and relatives and friends, you know, they can come. So that is the why Santa Cruz has become, in many people's estimation, a prosperity-free zone, relatively speaking, compared to what it could have been. If it would have been allowed to develop a convention center like Monterey, for example,
sterile,
like the DoubleTree. Well, it just—it's still—it's still a great place.
Mm-hmm.
It still has a great, you know, Silicon Beach, they call it, you know, and it still has a great.
It's like a bug in amber, though. It's frozen in time.
It really is. It really is. And it was Dan Garr who once coined the term prosperity-free zone.
I like that.
And it really stuck in my head. I think that really says it all, because there isn't a whole lot of prosperity here. There's a lot of people who can't afford, you know, the real estate prices and the rents. And I believe that the reason they can't afford the real estate prices and rents is because the supply has been artificially controlled.
Now, sure.
Okay? I mean, just that's common elementary economics. So my question to you is... Gary Patton and his whole mentality and engineering of a planning department that makes it almost impossible to get a building permit, you know, and if you do get a building permit, the building permit is going to cost you more than the construction of the damn house, you know. My question to you is, as a master's, having a master's degree in city planning, do you think that how different a place would Santa Cruz be if Gary Patton had not been elected supervisor and had not served for 20 years before he decided to run for a higher office, which was the state assembly, and thanks to this station, was not elected.
Right. Well, I mean, you clearly think you know the answer to that question. I mean, the answer...
But what do you think? Because I'm not a professional planner. Maybe I'm all wet. Maybe if it wasn't Patton, it would have been someone else who would have come in and said, this place shouldn't be developed, and everybody say no to all development, especially a convention center at Lighthouse Field.
That's a long period of time to be able to control any kind of development on a particular parcel of land. Now, along the way, there have been other attempts, my understanding is, right, to develop convention centers here in the area, not on that parcel, but other places, and they have also failed. Wasn't there a sense to develop some large hotels, et cetera, along the waterfront? And those
there was never my understanding that why they went down is because there just wasn't enough space. I mean, to make it a real convention center.
Yeah.
I mean, to this day, the Lighthouse Field.
Let me ask you a question then. Do you think that the entire nature of Santa Cruz, the city of Santa Cruz, is controlled by a single parcel of land?
No, of course not.
I mean, that doesn't make sense,
of course,
right?
Not. But everybody who is listening, who lived here back in those days, will agree, whether they like this guy Patton or not, is that he led the charge to keep Santa Cruz as development free as possible. And part of that was, as soon as he got into power and others like him, there were funds made available for the widening of Highway 17 back in the mid to late 70s.
Right.
That would have made Highway 17 that you just traveled over today, that blood alley.
Right. Straighter, safer.
It would have made it straighter and safer and doubled the lanes. So it would have been four lanes each side. And because Gary and his group was here of anti-development hysterical people, They said, absolutely not. We're not interested in widening Highway 17 because it will induce growth. And we don't want anything that's going to induce growth.
Right.
We don't want anything.
Right.
Well, okay, so take your money, and we thank you for making it available to us, but thanks, but no thanks. So the money went elsewhere to a county, presumably,
Here's what I can tell you, because although I have a master's degree in city planning from MIT, from the Department of Architecture and Planning at MIT, which is connected to the Harvard School of Government and the Harvard School of Architecture and Planning. So a lot of folks who do planning all around the world come from these programs. So they're fairly well-known programs. And one of the things that I realized while going through that program, see if I can answer your question by avoiding your question, as listeners of my show know that I do on a regular basis, is that people who tend to be attracted to planning issues, land use planning, whether it's from the law or from the planning side, they have an agenda. They have a social agenda. They have a political agenda. They have an economic agenda of their own before they even get into it. And you're talking about 20 years ago. You're talking about a slightly different economic...
It's more like 30 years ago now.
Different economic time. Probably folks that came out of the 70s, I'm guessing. People that came out of a more communal kind of environment. And not necessarily forward-thinking. I mean, we're talking about people... When you're talking about land use, you're talking about plans that last for 20 or 30 years. But in fact, the land is going to be there for a lot longer than 20 or 30 years.
Yeah.
Most people involved that I know involved in planning tend to be fairly short-sighted. And that's troublesome to me. Because how do you plan for something over the course of 100 years when you're only going to be around for 20 or 30 years?
Yeah.
That's a much harder thing to do. That requires sort of thinking about the philosophy of land use planning for people that aren't even born today. And most people that I know who get involved in politics, they're not worried about people who aren't born today. They're worried about people who are going to vote for them in the next election.
Right. Well... Okay.
I didn't answer your question.
No.
But
I'm going to ask the audience. I want you to call in, anybody who's interested in this topic, because I'm fascinated. I was driving through, the gridlock. I spend a lot of time in the Bay Area, and there's gridlock there, and there's more gridlock here, ladies and gentlemen.
But let me ask you a
question. I got news for you. There's more gridlock in Santa Cruz County than there is in the Bay Area.
How long are you going to keep complaining about this?
Huh?
How long are you going to keep complaining about this?
Do I do that? Is this just the first time you and I have ever talked about it?
Yeah, but I mean, this is obviously... I know that this is something that's been on the station before. I don't mean this as a criticism, but at some point, do you say, you know what, this is the way it is. We sort of draw line zero here, and how do we move forward rather than what happened 20, 30 years ago?
Okay, that's a good one.
Because you can't change... what it is now. I mean, if you took a snapshot now, the congestion and the traffic and the road and the funds and the new regulations over the last 30 years.
I just think it would make an interesting radio topic to put out what would have happened if Lighthouse Field would have become a convention center. I'm not saying I'm for it. I'm not saying I'm against it. I'm just saying how would this place have been different now today if a convention center had been built at Lighthouse Field? Or somewhere, because we don't have a convention center anywhere. Who cares where it is, as long as it's a viable convention center like Doubletree in Monterey, so that this place can be a venue.
When was that built?
I don't know, in the 80s, I guess.
So that was built instead of?
I'm not sure. I don't think so. I don't think the Monterey and Santa Cruz are far enough apart that they should each have their own, you know, visitors and convention bureau.
So people here, where do they go then? When area businesses are looking for conventions, do they then go further south? Do they go down to Pebble Beach? Do they go to Monterey? Do they go up to the city?
Well, there aren't many businesses that have conventions. Businesses don't have conventions, Robin.
No, but I mean, you think you draw people to the area.
Organizations have conventions, you know, and people, the place can't act as a magnet for much economic activity if it doesn't have a place for
gotcha.
You know, enough people to converge. And you need a convention center to do that. So, you know, I think Santa Cruz would be economically much stronger than it is. If there would have been a convention center, and can be in the future, if there can be a convention center, but I don't know where you could put a convention center because all the land's been knocked out of the consideration because it's all, you know, it's all open space now, you know, and I see all I see as a result of that open space is much higher real estate prices than rents than needed to have happened. And I don't see that the place is all that – I don't think it's any more pleasant than the Bay Area here. I don't. It would be if there wasn't the gridlock that there is in the Bay Area. But there is the gridlock in the Bay Area here that there is in the Bay Area.
Yeah,
there is.
There's still the natural resources here. I mean, I came over the hill on New Year's Day to walk on the beach.
Yeah.
Because walking on the beach is, on New Year's Day in Santa Cruz is a much more beautiful, wonderful way to start 2007 than walking along the highway or walking along the streets of downtown San Jose. And I like downtown San Jose,
uh-huh.
but you can't duplicate the natural environment here. You can't duplicate the bridges, natural bridges, the state park, the beach, the ocean. Those things are not available anywhere
right.
else.
Right, and if we would have had a convention center, would it have destroyed the natural bridges and would it have destroyed your desire to come over here and walk on the beach on New Year's Day?
I don't know how to tell that.
The answer is obvious. The answer is no. It wouldn't have destroyed it.
Well,
still
I don't know that it's that obvious. When you, for example, if you look at Atlantic City, which is obviously on the other side of the country.
Yeah.
Well, when I was a kid, Atlantic City was a resort community, and while it ultimately fell into some disuse and degeneration,
it became prosperous again through gambling.
Right, but that's not a place now that you want to go to walk on the boardwalk.
I see. Okay. All right. Good. We've got another call. We want more callers. I want to know what you think this place would have been, how this place would have been different if there would have been a convention center and it hadn't become a prosperity free zone. 479-1080. Give us a call. It's KSCO AM 1080, your favorite radio station with Saturday special with MZ and Robin Goldstein, our special guest today. Tom in Santa Cruz, what you got for us?
Hey, how you doing?
Good,
I'm just curious. Pretty fascinating. This trans. I'd like to ask Robin. I mean, he's basically a chick with a penor. How often is he able to hook up with a girl, or a dude, or whatever he does?
Okay. So I'll be real honest about my life. So there was a period of time when I transitioned the first time, and I was dating on a regular basis. This past transition, I have
Wait
been...
a minute, you were dating guys.
No, women.
When you started out as a guy.
Yeah.
So you normally would have dated women.
Right.
And did.
Right.
Then you transitioned...
Yes.
...to a woman.
Yes.
Presumably dated guys.
No. Still dated women. How I saw my body had nothing to do with what I was attracted to sexually.
Okay.
Different things.
Yeah.
That's why I put lesbian in there.
Okay.
Although I don't think that's right. I know lesbians.
Yeah.
Some of my best friends are lesbians.
Uh-huh.
And you, sir, know lesbian. No, but but
that guy just died, huh?
Yes, he did.
He said something like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. Lloyd Benson.
Right. Yeah.
Senator Benson.
And you, sir, are no lesbian.
You can use that in your promo for next week. This transition, which occurred about 3 years ago, unfortunately, I have been through a series of medical tragedies ever since then. I was diagnosed with kidney cancer. I then was diagnosed with a brain tumor. I then had a burst appendix. My mom then passed away, and I now have to have another brain operation. It's more brain surgery. So dating has not really been at the forefront of my mind,
right,
so to speak,
right,
at this point. I'm just kind of trying to keep life together.
Right.
But in terms of who I'm attracted to, I'm still attracted to women. I mean, George Clooney's a nice-looking guy, but I'm attracted to women.
Right. Okay. So I'm sorry, Tom. What?
I'm even more confused now.
Now you know what my life feels like. It's a very confusing life because we are all taught as we grow up, and I think rightly so, that there are boys and girls, there are men and women, and boys like girls, and girls like boys, and occasionally girls like girls, and boys like boys, and some boys like sheep, and some girls like cars. But for the most part, the life makes sense to us. And
but
so,
how many girls like guys dressed up like a girl?
How many do you need?
I understand that, but I mean, that's kind of weird. I mean, most girls, if they're attracted to girls or lesbians, they don't want a chick with a dick.
Dude,
they want a girl.
It's definitely confusing. No question about it. And it's a very small pool of people. Somebody once said to me, a friend of mine, no longer a friend, obviously, after you hear what she said, but a friend of mine said, well, you're clearly a vertical market product. I mean, you're clearly someone who's not, you know, broad public. When I go on eBay, not on eBay. Well, when I go on eBay, you're not going to find me. But when I go on Craigslist or Match.com, I'm not there. You can't find a category for me on Match.com or on Matchmaker or on a Neil Clark Warren's Harmony.com,
yeah.
eHarmony. I'm not there. So I just got to make my own way through the world.
Well, I feel for you, man. I hope your brain tumor heals itself. I hope you're healthy.
Thanks.
I really feel for you. I, I I bet you got a rough time out there, man.
I wouldn't trade the life that I have. It's a beautiful world that we live in, and I'm blessed to have people and friends and be able to support myself, feed myself, clothe myself in a world that's safe for me. That's safe. So, but I appreciate the well wishes. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
I bet it's better off that you're in the Silicon Valley. You know, I'm Santa Cruz versus someplace like Kentucky or wherever.
I got friends in the East Coast. I got friends in the South. You know what? It's interesting that you should raise that. Here's the thing, and I really appreciate it. I think this is a very interesting point. If you don't know anyone who's transgender, transsexual, whatever, what you know about people who are transgender are what you see about them in the popular media. A great example. Right now, ABC's got this television program. Was it All My Children?
Yeah.
And they've just introduced this transsexual character, Zarf. Do you know about this?
Have you talked about it?
So this is the first transsexual character on television, right? And the character's name is Zarf, which, of course, you may know is a small metallic stand for a hot cup of coffee. This was designed by the Greeks. So it's a stupid name to begin with.
Okay,
here's the point. You watch Zarf. You watch clips of Zarf. Zarf is a very unattractive, unappealing human being, whether they're male or female, transsexual, gay, doesn't matter. This is an ugly, ugly character. And so the portrayal of a transgender person on television is either someone who's very ugly, lots of drama, crazy on the Jerry Springer show, or someone to be pitied, someone who's the victim of violence. Now, you look at me, okay? I've got a good job. I've got a good head on my shoulders. I'm not trying to change anybody's mind about the way the world is or how they should live or how they should think about me. I do my comedy. I do my legal stuff. I go to the baseball games. I'm a big fan of the Giants. And I just kind of go through the world. And once you know me and you know that I'm transgender, you can't think about transgender or transsexual people in quite the same way again. Because you think those people are all a bunch of crazy freaks, except for Robin. Robin seems kind of cool.
Yeah.
I don't know, seems kind of normal. More normal than about half the people that I know. That's my point.
Okay, Tom, what do you think?
Hey, more power to him, man. I don't understand it. I can't fathom it. I can't imagine what you look like. But
Robin looks like a very attractive woman now.
www.schnauzerlogic.com. There's a photograph.
Give a showy picture.
Yeah, a couple of photographs.
There's half a photograph.
Yeah, well, if you go further down, there's me and Parviz in the studio.
Okay, good. Good.
Well,
yeah, Schnauzer
and
Logic.
I can't imagine that you could limit yourself to a chick to finding a woman more than you have, but hey, no power to you, bro.
Yeah. Well, I got a height requirement, too. I'm not that easy.
Okay. Bye-bye, Tom. 479-1080 if you want to call the Saturday special today. MZ and special guest Robin Goldstein. He has a... It's a habit.
I don't care.
I always know. Okay, it doesn't matter.
I don't care.
You don't care whether you're.
I don't worry about
he
that
or
stuff.
She.
Yeah, I understand So the only time it ever matters to me is if I go out to a restaurant with somebody, and I look the way that I look, and I use a different voice on the radio than I do when I'm in public with people, right? Because this voice doesn't match the way that I look, I think, when I'm in public. So I have a slightly different voice that I use.
Yeah.
And if somebody there, and so the waitresses or the hostesses, they don't think anything different, right? I don't look like a big 250-pound guy in a dress, right? That's not what I look like.
Right.
I don't think. Right? I mean, do
right,
I?
Right.
No. And so when somebody says he, that causes confusion to people that have never met me before. Because they go, what? Huh? Who? He? But that's confusing. But in terms of my friends, I don't care. I don't care what you call me.
Okay, good.
I mean, however you knew me is however you think of me. That's cool.
Okay, good. And I qualify and the audience qualifies.
Absolutely.
Even Mike in Santa Cruz.
I haven't corrected anybody.
I know. But, I mean, Mike said some terrible things to you. But
Mike's entitled to his opinion.
Are you going to be a good Christian and turn the other cheek?
Absolutely.
Good. Okay.
Is Mike calling back?
And consider Mike a friend. Because friends can call you he or she and you don't care.
Absolutely.
Okay, so even Mike gets
pronouns
put in that,
to,
even Mike gets put in that category.
Especially Mike.
Good. All right. We got Ed at Aptos coming up, but we've also we want to hear from other humans here. 479-1080. So give us a call. Let's do the commercial break now. Dave, take it away. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangero. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangero family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Our Gilda's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both Gilda and my son Dino look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
Life's good at the beach.
Hello, I'm Joe Creaky, owner of Beach Auto Sales in Santa Cruz, where life's good. One reason why life is so good at Beach Auto is that we know how to save you money. Lots of money. Instead of buying a new car or truck and losing thousands of dollars in depreciation the second you drive it off the lot, buy a quality pre-owned car from Beach Auto Sales. Beach Auto has the area's best selection of quality pre-owned cars, trucks, and vans. And I personally select every car, truck, or van that's on my lot. Another reason why life is so good at Beach Auto Sales is that buying a car or truck is so easy and fun, it's just like going to the beach. In fact, 50% of Beach Auto's monthly sales now come from satisfied repeat and referral customers. Don't forget, life's good at Beach Auto Sales.
When you're ready to buy or sell, go where life's good. That's Beach Auto Sales at 512 Pacific Avenue in Santa Cruz. Give Joe Creaky a call at 4-200-200. That's 4-200-200. Life's good at the beach.
Your electrical problem is no problem when you call Direct Electric. Hello, I'm Priscilla Christie of Direct Electric.
And I'm Dave Christie. Whether your problem is a light switch, breaker box, meter main, or anything in between, Direct Electric technicians will fix it right the first time for the right price. And here's the best part. Direct Electric will not bill you for a service call.
I don't think they heard you, Dave. You better tell them again.
Okay. Direct Electric will not charge you for a service call.
And if you have an electrical emergency, call Direct Electric at 425-1407. I'll rouse Dave and he'll come running.
Priscilla is right. If you have a real electrical emergency, the kind that just can't wait till morning, call Direct Electric and we will come running.
Remember, your electrical problem is no problem when you call Direct Electric. I will take your call.
And I will make certain that your problem gets fixed. Call Direct Electric at 425-1407. That's 425-1407.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of Metro Farm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. Metro Farm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. Metro Farm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. Metro Farm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of Metro Farm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Hi, this is Don Fredrickson from GotNet. GotNet's been serving the Monterey Bay Area since 1994 with high-quality, affordable internet service. At GotNet, we take pride in offering a higher level of personalized service. Our customer support technicians are knowledgeable and friendly. We're here 7 days a week to serve you, from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. during the week and noon to 5 on the weekends. GotNet is ready to answer questions, solve your problems, and get you on your way. Call GotNet today at 460-2000. Food, shelter, clothing, net. GotNet.
We are back on hour number one of the KSCO Saturday Special with MZ and
Almost
Robin.
Almost 2 weeks after Vice President Dick Cheney shot a man in the face, many questions still remain. So Schnauzer Logic sent reporter Goody Dickman to try to get answers. Scott McClellan, your White House press secretary, do you know what happened the day of the shooting?
No.
Well then, do you know how the vice president is holding up?
No.
Well, what do you know?
Don't know. Nothing at all.
Let's see if we can track down the president. Perhaps he can help. President Bush, how did you find out about the shooting? And what were your first thoughts when you heard what happened?
Psycho killer.
We understand that through it all, you remain quite fond of the vice president. And have you been in contact with Vice President Richard Cheney since the shooting?
The last time I saw Richard was Detroit in 68.
Thank you for your time. We next sought out the victim, Harry Whittington. Mr. Whittington, what went through your mind when you realized the vice president was taking aim?
Cheney got a gun.
And what did every instinct tell you to do?
Run, baby, run, baby.
Thank you for your time. We hope you continue to get better. Finally, in search of the real story, we interviewed the vice president himself. Mr. Vice President, what did you think when you realized you had shot Mr. Whittington?
Again,
we thought this was the first time. Many have said that you were drinking. Your office says you only drink on special occasions. How often do you throw one back? And what did you have to drink on the day of the shooting?
One bourbon, one scotch, one beer.
Vice President Cheney, some have suggested that you're the victim in this incident.
Why is everybody always picking on me?
Do you think this accident will cause you to give up hunting?
Happiness is a warm gun.
Well, Mr. Vice President, we hope you'll be at least more careful when drinking and hunting. And now you know what you didn't know when you didn't know what you knew. For Schnauzer Logic, this is Goody Dickman returning you to our studios where our program is already in progress.
www.schnauzerlogic.com.
Okay, so that's just a sample of the kind of... You think that's pretty funny, don't you? That's you who did that, huh?
Yeah. Don't you remember Dickie Goodman?
Yeah.
Back in the 70s, he did all of those things. It was Mr. Jaws.
Well, I didn't know the name of the guy back then.
It was Dickie Goodman. So that's what we call the character Goody Dickman.
Is he dead?
He did pass away a few years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So, but it was the one guy who did all those little...
It was
little
one guy that did all of those things. Kind of the father of the whole song parody, clipping them together.
Goody Dickman.
His name was Dickie Goodman, okay. And so I created a character.
All right, we want to hear from you. We're talking to Robin Goldstein from SchnauzerLogic.com. It's a podcast that no radio station, you know, there's a reason that that KSCO doesn't make a ton of money here. In fact, we lose a ton of money. There's a reason. What business person in the world? It's like it would be like getting on the radio and say, hey, everybody tune out KSCO and tune into KGO. You know, why would I do that?
Yeah.
But basically, that's what I'm doing when I'm telling people that your podcast is worth listening to, because they can't be listening to your podcast and listening to KSCO at the same time unless they're by Audible. But you know what I'm saying? But I like your podcast. It's got production value. It's
Thank
wonderful.
You. Hopefully it has a little content, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, here we are. So we are who we are, and that's all who we are. So if you want to call us, we wish you would.
There are people who may be driving around, and they're outside the range of KSCO. They can't always get
the
KSCO.
Range of KSCO is worldwide, through the web, just like the radio.
Supposing you're driving down to Los Angeles.
But it's worldwide.
But you can't listen in your car.
What are you talking about? You're a techie guy.
That's where you listen to Schnauzer Logic.
That's where you listen.
If you're a KSCO listener who's driving in Los Angeles, you'd listen to Schnauzer Logic then.
Because you could pick it up on the Wi-Fi there?
Because you download it to your iPod or your MP3 player.
Right, okay.
It's available anytime, 24 hours a day, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
We're your buddy.
Right.
We're your pal.
And that's what we do too, except we don't promote it.
Well, why not?
Because we're idiots.
Oh, well.
We're just plain
idiots.
Well,
then you can't listen to your own station.
That's right. That's right. You brought up an important thing here. You know, I probably
well, I
don't
get
even,
lucky every now and
I
then.
Don't even an idiot is a stupid person. And stupid people are not allowed to listen to KSCO. So that means I've just admitted in front of everybody.
Take your headphones off.
And you can finish up the program. You know, that's you got this.
I'm not sure I'm smart enough to do it either.
Okay, well, here's Ed and Aptos. Ed, you got to speak fast here, okay?
Oh.
Because this is a fast-moving program. I know you normally speak slow. You're going to speak fast right now. Go ahead, Ed. Uh-oh. You can't do that. We've got to do the news. It's 11 o'clock. Stay on the line. We'll be right back.
He spoke to reporters in Baghdad along with Defense Secretary
KSCO
Robert
Santa
Gates,
Cruz.
Who made a surprise visit to southern Iraq. In Washington, Rich Johnson, Fox News Radio.
The president's State of the Union address will be next Tuesday, and it won't be confined just to the war. He'd say he'll also spend time on health care, energy, and immigration. A White House run for Hillary Clinton.
I announced today that I'm forming a presidential exploratory committee.
In a video message on her website, the former first lady says she's in the race to win. The field of candidates getting crowded.
Today, my family and I are taking the first steps on the yellow brick road to the White House.
Republican Senator Sam Brownback of Kansas is an opponent of abortion, embryonic stem cell research, and gay marriage. Another dose of winter weather for parts of the country, portions of Texas, Oklahoma, Nebraska, and New Mexico could be hit today with 6 inches or more of snow and sleet. There have been at least 74 winter-related deaths in 9 states in just this past week. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
I'd like to tell you about an attacker and how my friend survived. He was hit in the head by a stroke and left unable to speak. He couldn't believe it was actually happening and didn't know what to do, so he didn't get help right away. And it only got worse. His left side got weak and he was helpless. Thankfully, someone realized what was going on and called 911. If they hadn't, my friend wouldn't be here now. If you're attacked by a stroke, call 911 immediately. The sooner you react, the better your chance of survival. I'm glad that he lived, but we're still praying and working on his recovery. So if it ever happens to you or someone around you, get emergency medical help right away. Don't try to deny it's an attack by a stroke. This is Will Downing, friend of a stroke survivor.
Strokes attack African Americans more often. Find out why. Call 1-888-4-STROKE or visit www.strokeassociation.org. Time lost is brain lost. A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
FEMA plans to extend its transitional housing assistance program for Gulf Coast residents displaced by Hurricanes Katrina and Rita for six more months. The program was scheduled to expire in February, potentially displacing more than 100,000 households from FEMA-funded homes. Turning lemons into lemonade on Capitol Hill, last year's congressional PAGE program scandal motivating lawmakers to protect those young people who work in Congress. Fox News Radio's Mike Makowitz in Washington with more.
The fallout from the Mark Foley email scandal has led to sweeping changes in how the PAGE panel is run. It will now have equal representation from each party, and the eight members will include a former page and the parent of a current or former page. The changes resulted from improper sexual messages sent from then-Congressman Foley to former pages. In Washington, Mike Makowitz, Fox News Radio.
He says it could be one of his last adventures in a lifetime full of them. Everest conqueror Sir Edmund Hillary has returned to Antarctica, where he led an expedition in the mid-1950s. Hillary is 87. Your college-bound kids may want to go to an Ivy League school, but a new report suggesting they might have to settle for something a little less pricey.
The national survey finding rising tuition and other costs are forcing more and more students to settle for their second or third choices in colleges. UCLA's Higher Education Research Institute saying half of this year's freshmen attending a second choice school were accepted by their top pick, but they didn't go there. For about a third of those, money was the reason. Geography and athletics were other factors. According to the College Board, tuition and fees at four-year public colleges have risen 35% over the last 5 years. In Washington, Chris Barnes, Fox News Radio.
Wedding planners saying it's their busiest day in years, July 7th, 2007. But one bride says there's another reason to get hitched. It's going to be tough for her husband to forget their anniversary date. I'm Lisa Carton, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz, AM 1340 KOMY Watsonville. I'm Dave Michaels with your weather forecast for today, Saturday, January 20th, 2007. Today will be mostly sunny with highs around 61 degrees. Wind should be west-northwest at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tonight will be generally clear with lows around 35 degrees and winds north-northwest at 5 to 10 miles an hour as well. Tomorrow will be mainly sunny with highs around 63 degrees and tomorrow night clear with lows around 35 degrees. Your Monterey Bay boaters forecast for today, northwest winds 15 to 25 knots, wind waves 2 to 6 feet, and a northwest swell 4 to 9 feet at 8 seconds, along with patchy, dense fog. The temperature here at the station is 48 degrees, and it's time to take you back to the Saturday special with your host, MZ, right here on AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz, AM 1340 KOMY Watsonville.
Coming into hour number two of the Saturday special, and but before we get into the topic that we will continue, we're going to play Kay's latest commentary, or the most recent, yeah.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go.
gotta go to KSEO Radio. Bye.
And I'm going to need your help with that, Dave, if you don't have it queued. Do you have it queued already? Oh, good. Okay, great. Thank you. So take it away, Dave.
The following is a KSEO commentary. Here is Kay's Whirling.
It was the late 70s. My husband and I were part of a small group visiting China. We were there the day that Richard Nixon signed the treaty with China to have joint economic relations. That day, the Chinese people were dancing in the streets. There were no cars then, only millions of bicycles, and everyone wore black outfits, and it being bitter cold, bitter winter, they wore layers and layers of cotton clothing. I had mixed feelings for the people in their celebration. Despite their forthcoming Americanization and prosperity, the Chinese would lose a certain simplicity and peaceful existence and trade that in for capitalism and its companion, stress. Let's fast forward to 2007. U.S. manufacturing is almost non-existent. Most of it is in China and other countries. International corporations convinced our leaders that trade with China would benefit our country. I could never understand how we benefit when China could inundate us with enormous amounts of stuff, much of it inferior, and would take only a fraction of our products in return. And our leaders allowed and condoned that practice, and now China owns us. The following, floating around the internet, author unknown, underscores my dismay and disgust with trade imbalances allowed by our government, and this will scare and anger you. December 26, 2006, when one day a year either makes or breaks the bank, how fragile indeed has our economy become. Decades ago, when we manufactured almost everything here in America, the Christmas holiday was just that, a holiday. Retail businesses made money, but the money spent on gifts stayed in American pockets. Now almost everything is made in China, India, Mexico, and many other countries. Once the money is sent out of the country, it will never return. If you do not believe this, check the trade imbalance between the U.S. and China. We buy everything from them while they buy pitifully little from us. It's a lucrative, one-sided deal for China and corporations who engineered this scheme with the American worker coming out the loser. And if you think that this stuff on a grand scale is not hurting America, well, listen to this. America's finances are in such bad shape that China, our so-called most favored trading partner, is taking the billions of American dollars invested here, which it has accumulated in this one-sided trade deal, and now wisely trading them in for euros and precious metals. The Chinese are well aware of America's deepening financial morass, and they're not going to get stuck with billions of worthless American dollars if the bottom falls out. And, my friends, unless our do-nothing Congress acts soon to reverse this looming economic disaster, the once mighty dollar will wind up like the post-World War I German mark. Worthless. As we speak, the dollar is losing value. What is worse, however, is the mindset of the average American who seems to be more concerned about his neighbor's dog pooing on his lawn than about the impending collapse of the dollar. And I say our government is really worse. Nobody's home. Once the bottom begins to drop out, Americans will eventually get their heads out of the sand and demand an end to the so-called free trade schemes and a return to fiscal responsibility. However, by that time, it will be too late. A depression equal or worse than that of the 1930s will be upon us. And I lived through that one, and it was not good. For KSCO and KOMY, this is Kay Swirling.
Wow, that's heavy stuff. Can anyone argue with that? I don't know. Someone can. Give us a call. You can't. Can you, Robin? Oh, I guess
I'm going to turn my mic on. Otherwise, yeah. It makes it hard.
You definitely won't be able to if I don't do that.
That was pretty hopeless.
Yeah.
I mean, I was listening for a way out. Yeah. Your mom didn't leave us a way out. It's like,
well,
we
no,
have
she
to do
said
something.
If the
but then
leaders,
she said, but she said, and it'll be
something.
Too. But she said, but it'll be too late.
Oh.
So it's already too late. So I think we should party like it's 1999. Because then we'd have like another 8 years to do something about it.
94, yeah. Maybe, or something like that. And anyway, you're listening to the Saturday special, hour number two there of MZ and Robin Goldstein, our guest today. Finally, we're going to put Ed from Aptos on. Ed, you're on the air.
Greetings.
Hey.
About four things. I was going to talk about three, but I want to talk about your mother's editorial. I think she's spot on. Maybe she should get Tom Hartman's book, Screwed.
Okay, well,
That's one of his main pitches, is the abysmal state that our finances are in.
Uh-huh.
And this free, so-called free trade that is his main thing is fair trade, free trade.
Yeah, and Mom was against NAFTA and GATT, you know, back when. And so was Sam Farr, actually.
Sam got his arm twisted big time back in Washington, D.C. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But I digress from today. I think the answer to your question you posed, I think that the only difference would we would have gotten to the gridlock sooner than we have it now. It's the big difference between building that center there and maybe.
So you think that if the highways had been widened back then when there was the money,
I'm talking about the convention center.
Yeah.
You know maybe part and parcel you should have. You know, the
I should have made I should
the widening of the street should have been done, you know, 10 years ago. I think the widening of the streets on the highway,
I believe, should have been done 30 years ago when there was money available from the state to do it.
Well, you're probably right on that. Mm-hmm. Although, you know, that's about the time I moved in the vicinity, and you know, the traffic wasn't too bad back then.
Okay.
I got two other things.
Go.
One, talking about Robin a little bit, and then talk about the radio biz a little bit.
Okay.
But, Robin, I just had a few questions for me. Was Robin your given name?
No, it wasn't.
Okay. Because there's a picture on Schnauzer website of Rich.
Yep.
That'd be you, huh?
That'd be me.
Okay, cool.
Was that with me and Lenny Koch? Probably in radio back in high school. Poor Lenny, the fellow that I started doing this with in high school, he passed away earlier this month.
Why?
Illness. He had diabetes, I guess, his entire life, juvenile diabetes, and ultimately all of his systems shut down, and he passed away. And I didn't keep in contact with him, but it's kind of nice to know that he was still out there after all of these years. And my greatest sorrow is that I couldn't get him back on Schnauzer Logic. We had reconnected through a mutual friend. I wasn't able to get him back on the air with me beforehand. I would have loved to do that.
Oh.
And just a confirmation, I heard earlier that you were still make your money from the legal profession.
I make my money in a bunch of different ways, but I am an attorney. Yeah, I'm an intellectual property lawyer.
Okay. And the choice of name for Schnauzer Logic, is that because of the ambiguity of the word Schnauzer?
No, Schnauzer Logic came about because I had a Schnauzer.
And I learned a lot about sort of life and philosophy from watching this little dog. If you have a pet of any kind, especially dogs, but I think cats are the same way, you realize that they have very distinct qualities, that they're thinking, they're scheming, they're planning, they have lives. Some of them have good senses of humor. And along the way, I thought to myself, you know, I think that I'm engaged in a battle of wills with my schnauzer very often, and the schnauzer is winning. The schnauzer clearly has the upper hand or the upper paw on this thing. And I said, you know, life is a lot like walking a miniature schnauzer. You pretty much have to let it go where it wants to take you, or it's a miserable experience for everybody involved. And so schnauzer logic sort of became a philosophy of life, which is you let life just take you wherever it goes and enjoy the ride. Very Eastern, very Western, kind of mixed together. So that was the genesis of the idea of schnauzer logic. It was going to be a radio show that kind of just took us wherever it did.
I had more evil intent into the name.
Well, God bless you.
One little snippet on the radio biz. I don't know if you probably don't listen to Al Franken very much, Mike, but I think it was yesterday he had a fellow on that was they're putting out a pitch for helmet liners for the
for what
for helmet liners
for the troops. Operation Helmet.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Yeah, and this fellow is spearheading it is. Doctor used to, I guess he spent his time in the Navy as a retired captain from the Navy, and was a doctor. But anyhow, he had a grandson, I guess, that was in Iraq, and he found out that they had these inferior helmet liners, and basically it allowed the helmet to, if they had a concussion, the helmet would slap around on the head, where these new ones keep it firmly, you know, in place so that it absorbs the shock instead of becoming proper part of the problem.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that be it as may, he was on Franken's show before, and he brought up a interesting factoid that he said, well, the people that contributed from the Al Franken show, he said 80% of them paid by credit card or PayPal.
Yeah.
Or maybe even higher percentage than that, but it's a very, very large percentage. He says the people that he got from the Hannity show, he said they all paid by check.
Uh-huh.
And what does that tell you?
Liberal people are more online than not liberal people.
Yeah, well, maybe that he has an older audience, and that, of course, I guess maybe the older people are the ones that have the money, since we're all the good jobs have gone offshore.
Yeah,
well, not my job.
Well, not your job, but, you know, we're getting in a kind of a quandary here where you have to have money to get into college to make money, so... It's going to be kind
no,
of...
No, I don't believe that now. I believe that now less than I believed it, you know, when I went
Michael,
to college.
Hey, Michael, how much
did you... I went to college, I wasted 4 years of my life, Ed.
Well,
I really did.
That's one of the stepping stones that our society uses, even if you don't have
yeah.
the...
I just don't want to be a wage slave. I don't want to depend on anybody else who has the power to fire me if they don't like the way I look or act or something. Or perform.
Yeah,
I like to be in charge of my own destiny. I mean, that's just me, and I wish more people would be like me, because then I don't know. Then there wouldn't be as many people with who worry about who have money problems. Around.
I want to be like Mike.
Huh?
Yeah.
Entrepreneurial.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I'm not inflating myself in front of people. I really get a charge out of turning people on to being masters of their own destiny.
Absolutely.
However they do it.
But not everybody's wired that way.
Well, I think everybody's passionate about something or can be passionate about something or is passionate about something. And I think that if people will spend their life in being engaged in what they are passionate about, and in my case, it's radio. In my case, it's turning other people on to being in charge of their own lives, then the money sort of comes.
Mm-hmm.
I think it just sort of, and they don't have to depend on somebody else and be resentful because it's been 6 months or 8 months or 6 years since they got a raise.
Do you think that you're fortunate that you were able to figure this out at a point in your life where all of these elements came together and people who are not are simply not working hard enough?
No, I don't think that. I think that a lot of people don't have the advantages that I had.
Okay.
And I've had advantages, and I like to share them on the radio.
Because, I mean, I feel the same way.
Yeah.
Right? Which is I could have been born, you know, 5,000 miles to the east, and it would have been a very different life for me.
Sure. And same here. But most of us who were born in this country, it is still the land of opportunity.
Would
it
have been in the middle of the ocean,
been.
Actually, I think. Yeah. That would have been a nightmare is what I'm thinking.
But, I think people should do for a living what they are passionate about. There's always a way to do it. There's always a way to do it.
One last thought. I couldn't have done what I did without my college education. So.
Okay, and you're a retired airline pilot.
Right.
Ed.
And so a lot of jobs that you get, even, you know, take that college education. In fact, to get into the Air Force when I was in it, that all they required was the college education. Didn't make any difference what your major was. They just wanted you to have that 4-year degree.
I'm happy we're continuing this conversation here because I think it's important for me to say, like Robin said earlier, he's not advocating that other people, you know, be transsexual or transgender or anything. He's just saying this is the way it is.
I don't want
just
the competition.
I'm not I'm not advocating in any way that people not go to college because it would be a 4 years of wasted time for them, as I consider it was for me. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying for me that's what it was.
Well, one last question for you, Mike. Was that germ planted when Berlin canned you from your radio stand in when you were in high school?
Was what seed planted?
The independent seed.
I'll tell you exactly when it was planted, though. There was a cable television company here. I don't know what they call it. Whatever it is now, it's like this was like 10 cable TV companies.
Yeah,
it's the same system. It was called Teleprompter Cable TV. And I had the absolute dream job. I mean, I swear I would be making not much more than minimum wage or minimum wage now at the age of 55 if that job was still there. I absolutely loved it. I was in charge of producing and hosting a 30-minute nightly news feature program on cable TV.
Wow.
And I got the I was 21 years old, and I wasn't a bad-looking dude, you know, and people recognized me on the street and said, I love that interview you did with a Capitola Wharf drunk the other day. That was fantastic. It made my day.
Wow.
You know, and I that's when I first got this whole, you know, ego infusion fever, you know,
mm-hmm.
because people started television is much more recognizable than radio. You know, you really get a charge when people recognize you from your voice, you know, but it's easy when you're on television, everybody recognizes you by your voice and you're more from your appearance than from your voice.
Sure.
And so I'm answering Ed's question the best way I know, but it's pivotal because it really was a pivotal point in my life. The boss used to slap me on the back every day, telling me what a great job I was doing and how much he appreciated my work. He would go to Rotary Club and everybody would tell him what a great station that he has and the things that they do are very innovative, and that Zwirling guy, you know, he does wild and crazy things and memorable things, and boy, he's great. Let him know how good he is. And he did. And then one day, all of a sudden, he called me and he said, you better sit down because I've got something it's going to hurt me terribly. I said, what's going on? I got to let you go. Why? You're always telling me what a good job I do. It's not my decision. This was a decision made at corporate in New York City, 3,000 miles away, that we're cutting back our company here because the stock went down. And listen, you're great. I mean, just watch the stock market, and if the stock moves up from $5 where it is now, we'll be calling you back for sure, you know, because we love you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was devastated, you know. But I kept looking. I didn't care about the stock market until then, and then I started looking at teleprompter stock every day, and it actually did come up. It went to 6 or 7 or something, and I kept waiting for the phone call to ring, for the phone to ring, and it didn't. And when I started getting a bill for my cable TV, which I used to get for free as an employee, I decided I better move on with my life. And so, so Ed, that
this is the 5-minute service.
I don't want to hear the 5-minute service, Ed. What happened? That was the pivotal point in my life when I decided that even when you do a good job working for someone else, look what happens.
Yeah.
Okay? Well, I vowed at the age of 21 that I would never work for anybody else again except myself.
Yeah. That's kind of like I heard a little story about GE. They had a factory for making iron. For ironing clothes down in Ontario, California.
Yeah.
And they were making a profit from the operation. And yet they, you know, because they could make more money by shipping the jobs overseas, they shut the place down and put those people out of work.
Right.
Yeah, so when you're, you know, you think you own the company and you're the master of destiny, United Airlines, the employees owned a good portion, over 50% of the company, yet that didn't keep it from, you know, the employee ownership.
Yeah, no, it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing as being entrepreneurial.
It is nice to be, you know, to have that security that you have of knowing that you can go out and change your or exist in life without depending on somebody else.
Well, anybody can decide to do it. You just do it. You just do it. It's easier for some people than it is for others. It was easier for me because I was unattached and still am. If I would have had a family to support, I probably wouldn't have been able to become an entrepreneur. I probably would have had to have a job somewhere that had to make a certain amount of money, or else my family would die.
Probably the people that are clever enough and nimble enough, you know, rise, and the people that aren't, they're the ones that are what we call the homeless.
But I still believe that everybody, and I'm always preaching to my people here at the radio station, who are the greatest people in the world, but some of them don't even own a house. And well, I want them to, you know, yeah, I mean.
That's a problem because they're here.
No, it's a problem. It's a problem because they're here.
Well, they could own a house, but they just couldn't live in it.
Anybody can own a house, even in Santa Cruz, if they make up their mind that that's the most important thing in their life, to get out of being a renter. Okay? Yes, even in Santa Cruz, you can do it. And that's what I'm always trying to get. And I'm starting to get through to some of my people here. I actually am.
Cool.
Yeah. And nothing would make me happier in the world for people not to have to worry about getting evicted and being stressed of having to find another place or else move away from Santa Cruz.
Well, one last question. Is Robin going to move back to live radio via KSCO?
Who knows? I mean, we haven't talked about anything. But,
oh, okay.
But yeah, we are going to be making a big change come this Thursday. So tune in at the 4 o'clock hour and find out what it is.
It's not me.
That's what we call a tease.
Yeah,
That's what we call a tease because Phil...
Hope you're not firing anybody other than rearranging the programming.
Well, what we need to do is we need to tweak the radio station in the afternoon drive, and that's what we're going to do because on Wednesday we're losing our very talented Phil Marlowe.
Okay.
And so Thursday is going to be the first day without Phil, and the first day
something else.
He's firing us. That's right.
Okay.
And we deserve it.
Okay? Very good.
All right.
Wish him luck.
Thank you.
Right.
There's Ed and Aptos. Here's Krishna in Santa Cruz. You're on the KSCO Saturday Special, Krishna.
Hello. Hello there.
Hi.
Mr. Zwirling, you are a wonderful, marvelous creature. You know that.
Well, you're amazing. Very, very kind.
And. You've brought a lot of pleasure in my life with your radio station for over 18 or 19 years now.
Thank you. Tell everyone you know. We need more listeners and more participants.
Oh, but I do.
More advertisers, too.
I do. Well, there's the cinch or whatever. Now, Mr. Schnauzer, it's been a long time since I heard your voice, and I do remember...
Son of Vista, Krishna, how are you?
Yes, when you were first on the radio, I found you completely irritating. So wholly irritating. And today, when I heard you, I found you completely marvelous.
Wow.
I think you're an amazing creature, too. You know?
Two amazing creatures in the KSCO talk studio. Let's breed.
The word amazing,
it's hard because we both have schlong.
I think you're absolutely wonderful, Mr. Schnauzer.
Thank you. That's very sweet
and
of you.
And it's not because you're suffering from brain cancer. Aside from that.
It's not cancer, by the way. It is a tumor, but it's a non-cancerous tumor.
Oh, that's fine.
Much
then.
Better. Yes. No,
not
no.
to worry.
Much easier. Yes.
You are marvelous now.
Thank you.
What is it? I have evolved, not you. You're still the same.
No, I don't think that's true. I think that time changes us all. And
I think
Krishna, what do you think is different about Robin now than when you heard him on KSCO a few years ago?
He sounds so much at ease with himself. And he's so welcoming and he's so optimistic. And he's so marvelous.
It's all the estrogen,
Michael.
To me,
he is what I think of Americans in general.
So since then, are you kidding, Robin? I mean, you look more like a woman now than I mean. You
That's
didn't
a good
look
sign.
Like, is it because of estrogen? Are you
I
serious?
Think so. Sure.
So you have been taking estrogen, and maybe maybe that modified Robin's personality, Krishna. That's Krishna. That's what happened. Robin.
No, I don't like that because usually I don't care for female attributes.
Well, for
mental attributes, that is. They tend to be uninteresting. Men are much more interesting to me.
I think I feel more comfortable in my own life.
Maybe that's why. It's
I
so
think that's
true.
What it is. I feel comfortable in my own life. And I've been fairly buffeted around over the last few years. You know, I mentioned I had a bunch of illnesses, which I was very surprised. And I figured I had been sort of through it all. I had brain surgery back when I was 28 for an AVM for the same thing that Senator Tim Johnson had, the one, the senator that passed out in Congress.
Yeah.
I had that same thing. And back when I was much younger and very stupid and didn't know, and I figured, well, I got my major surgery out of the way. I'm done for the rest of my life. I can go ride motorcycles without helmets at this point. And
see, you're funny too.
And it did, thanks. And then I wound up having a burst appendix, and then I'm diagnosed with kidney cancer. And a friend of mine said to me after I came out of cancer, and they tell you you're a cancer survivor, and that's not an identity that anyone wants to take on readily. And a friend of mine said to me, well, do you feel different? Like, have you had this life-changing experience? And I said, I don't think so. And then the next year, I was diagnosed with a brain tumor, a 6.5 centimeter, which is a good-sized tumor. And I thought, okay, now I have a life-changing experience. Now I realize, you know, live every moment for the present and be here now. But I realize I have no idea how much longer I'm going to be around. I really better just be doing what I think is the right thing to do right now.
Be around forever, because we need the light that you have.
That's very sweet and kind. Thank you very much.
That's marvelous, Mr. Schnauzer. Keep having a good time, and I hope everything turns out well for you.
Okay, you take care, Krishna.
Thank you,
Krishna.
Now, hold on a second here.
Okay.
I had more to say.
Oh, good?
Okay.
Thank God, because there are no other callers. What are we going to do?
479-1080. You don't give out the numbers.
Is that the reason?
Well, of course. You have the regulars, the KSCO family, the Glee Club, if you will.
Yes.
But you have people who are driving around. You may tune around in a Saturday morning. They're going to the local big box store.
Okay, you just gave it. Now I'm going to give
it
479-1080. I'm looking at the phone lines, and there's still no one there but Krishna.
1, 2, 3, 4...
Oh, look!
Exactly.
Is that Sean? Did he do that? Is it Sean's in the other room? Our buddy Sean. I wonder if he made the phone ring.
479-1080.
Oh, no, his hands are free.
he's like Penn and Teller.
All right.
Okay, okay. Let me get through with this. It's 479-1080 KSCO AM.
Yeah.
Now.
Look what that did. There's a third one. Okay.
About Mrs. Whirling. You know, I love the lady, right?
Yes, so do
she's
I.
The first
what a coincidence.
Lady of Santa Cruz, as far as I'm concerned.
Uh-huh.
But she's all wrong, all over, deeply and profoundly with her commentary.
With this particular one on China.
Yes, she is.
Oh, wow.
And
Jesus, this is devastating, because what I was going to announce later on is that I'm forming an exploratory committee to have Kay be president of the United States, because that's all I get on the voicemails and the emails. Kay has got to be president.
There you go.
But you disagree, at least so far.
But she should have advisors about economics. She's completely and deeply wrong. And one of the facts being that we have to live in this planet, and there are more big guys around than the US of A.
Yeah.
And we have to have trade. We have to have all these things happen. The only way to live. And I'll tell you one thing. We are still
number one. She doesn't say don't have trade. She doesn't say don't have trade. She just said,
she's saying that the imbalance.
Is it imbalance?
What she forgets to see is that China is going to drop dead tomorrow if we said, sorry, we are not buying anything from you. So China is so indebted to us, or everything that it earns from us with the imbalance is put right back into, we are China's small business. In this case, it's large, but we are China's business, period. It reinvests everything that it makes from us, it comes right back to us. All the government bonds and the treasury bonds is on Chinese money. But China does not want to do anything with it. It's thank God.
No, but they're buying up things in this country, are they not? I mean, they're buying
real
estate.
What do you think? We are on the right side of the money. They are not. The building, what do you think? We can say from today to the next day, sorry, it ain't yours anymore, buddy.
Oh, we could nationalize it, sort of like they're doing with the KSCO building.
No, confiscated, like we've confiscated Iranian money.
They're nationalizing the KSCO building this week at this Board of Supervisors.
This building here?
This building.
What does it mean to say it's nationalized?
Well, they're taking it. They're declaring it a historical monument, which means that we can't do anything with it.
What were you planning on doing with it?
Something.
Okay.
Maybe someday.
All right.
Like to be able to build a 80-story high-rise here so a lot of people can enjoy a view of the ocean.
Exactly damn right.
Oh.
You know?
Exactly.
But we're not going to be able to do squat with this business, with this building after that.
Amazing, eh?
Yeah, after it's nationalized along with about 150 other properties in Live Oak that are going to be nationalized also. Hey, and a lot of people don't even realize that. And why aren't we? Well, maybe we will fight it, but I don't think fighting it's going to do any good because, you know, unless I can get everybody who's listening to the sound of my voice to get down and threaten to kill the people if they nationalize the building.
That would be a bad idea.
It would be a bad idea.
You don't want to do that.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
No.
Michael,
I don't want to do that. But you know what?
With
the well thing, when they've talked about putting meters on people's wells,
mm-hmm.
people did go down there, and you could tell by the looks on their faces that they were going to kill the supervisors if the supervisors voted that through.
I mean, they
feared for their lives. They really did.
Well, that's not a good thing.
I know.
That's not how you want to govern.
Well, if someone is going to do, you know what the word revolution is? Of course you do.
Sure.
Sometimes there's a need for a revolution, and they got real close to a revolution. That's the closest I've ever seen to supervisors in this county getting close to a revolution that day about 10 years ago.
But you're not close to that yet with...
No, not at all. Go ahead, Krishna.
Well, anyway, I was just going to say that if Kate wants to, there's a wonderful book written by P.J. O'Rourke called On the Wealth of Nations, Adam Smith's. But Adam Smith's needs heavy lifting. But for people like she and I, we can read P.J. O'Rourke's On the Wealth of Nations.
I
he's
love
a marvelous, marvelous writer.
Yeah, he's terrific. And very conservative writer.
He'll explain it.
Yep.
He'll understand it.
Terrific.
Okay, Krishna.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call. Thanks for your kind words. Here's Betty in China about Salinas. Or is it Betty and Salinas about China? That's what it is.
Also.
I still eat off paper plates. I can't help you.
Me too. Because I don't like to clean them, and I'm a slob. Go ahead, Betty. You're on the air. Here.
Well, what she said was interesting about our trade imbalance with China. We've got to stop it. Because China, like other countries that have wealth, are coming in here and buying our country.
Well, that's what I thought, and that's what I believe is happening. But
this is not good.
But let me just interrupt you for just a moment here, respectfully. When people talk about other countries coming in here and buying our country, they're buying it from Americans. They're not buying it from some generic boogeyman. They're buying it from Americans who are profiting from this.
Well,
so if the Chinese came in here and wanted to buy property that you owned and you sold it to them,
I wouldn't.
But other Americans. So why are we angry with the Chinese? Why aren't we more angry with Americans who are profiting? But of course, we all believe in profit motive, which is if the Chinese are the biggest bidder and can give us the most amount of money, why wouldn't we sell to the Chinese?
Well, why are they the biggest bidder? Because the trade imbalance is making them so wealthy.
And why is the trade imbalance making them so wealthy? Because Walmart is full of $1.98 T-shirts.
I don't go to Walmart, okay?
Well, but Americans do. But
no,
Americans
well,
do go to Walmart. That's why it's the world's largest retailer.
Yeah, well,
and that's because we pay minimum wage to such a large percentage of the population. They can't afford to buy American-made clothing, so they buy clothing at Walmart. So I think it's intellectually incomplete to look at only a single part of this element and say, oh, we've got an issue here, and it's just China.
Who are you? I thought I was talking to somebody else.
No, you're talking to you.
Both of us.
Well, who's both of us?
Michael and Robin.
I don't know Robin.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll pipe down.
That's Robin.
This is Michael, but you're not on my team.
I'm not on your team?
No, I'm afraid not.
Okay.
Okay. Now wait a second, Betty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't know we were playing a game.
We're not playing a game. This is very serious, dead serious. This is our country. It's
okay,
so you
are on Kay's team, but you're not on Krishna's team nor Robin's team, it sounds like, right?
Well, I don't can't be on all three of them.
There's only two teams. There are those who are in favor of a balance of trade and those who are against a balance of trade.
Nobody is against a balance of trade.
Yeah, United States is against the balance of trade because of NAFTA and GATT, Robin. Figure it out. It's obvious to me. You're a real smart guy.
We've got to kick out NAFTA
and GATT. It's against a balance of trade because that's what NAFTA and GATT is all about. It is.
Okay. I think it's a very simplistic conclusion.
Sometimes, if you've heard the term KISS, keep it simple, stupid, that's what this is. It's very, very simple. So you're either against a trade imbalance or you're for it. You're against a balanced trade or you're for it. And if you're right?
No, it's not right. It's not right to say that you're either against a balance of trade or you're for a balance of trade. Of course I'm for a balance of unbalanced trade. How can you not be for balanced trade? What's the argument for being against balanced trade? The question is, how do you arrive at balanced trade? The devil is in the details. Did we lose the caller?
No, you haven't lost.
No.
I just think that we should have a president and a Congress that's for our country. Number one, our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people.
Who are the president and the Congress for if they're not for the country?
That's what I keep wondering.
For themselves.
So if they're for themselves, they're not for the Chinese. So if they're for themselves, you're saying that it's in their interest to...
This guy's a tongue twister, isn't he? Robin, who is Robin?
Robin is our guest today.
Who is he? What's his last name?
Robin Goldstein.
And where's he from?
He's a very bright person.
I'm a former host here on KSCO. He used to hold Schnauzer Logic. He used to do the morning show. He used to do airplay here on KSCO.
Yeah. When Rush Limbaugh was taken from the radio station.
I was brought in by helicopter and...
Well, I switched over to with Rush, of course.
Exactly.
See?
That's
how loyal you were to us, Betty. Not very nice.
That's a balance of trade.
Well, no, this guy would put me right in the pits in no time. And Rush lifts me up. And that's what I need. That's what we all need.
It's important to understand what it is that lifts you up. And I'm glad Rush does it for you. That's a good thing.
You don't make points with me saying that.
I'm not trying to.
Well, then stop.
Okay.
But he doesn't give a damn what you think of him or not.
Well, you don't either.
Yes, I do, Betty.
Oh, you do?
I do, very much.
I understand that. You and Kay are okay. Well, listen, all I can say is that China's going to buy out our country. When it's bought out, you know, when they own the things that are really important, and some other foreign countries are doing the same, we just should have a law that America belongs to Americans.
Okay.
If that isn't sensible...
Did you hear Robin agree with you? Robin agrees with you.
I would vote for a law that says America belongs to Americans.
Say that again?
I would vote for a law that says America belongs to Americans.
Well, then why do you talk against it?
I didn't. I just think what it means to say that America belongs to Americans is very different. There is no deed that says America, and then you sign on the bottom line and you transfer to somebody else.
Betty, if you wanted to sell your house in presumably in Salinas, I assume you own your house, okay?
Yes.
If you wanted to sell your house and...
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't sell the house?
Not to a Chinese, foreign, national.
Absolutely. Boy, I wouldn't.